and just close your eyes. I don't have a lot of time with you this morning, but I have a lot to say to you. But as your hands are raised and your eyes are closed, I want you to take a moment and I want you to really, from your heart, just say, Father, say it again, but say it with everything inside of you. Say, Father, I love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you are about to reveal to me. Say, Holy Spirit, thank you for leading me here today. Thank you for helping me be obedient to God's voice. If I wasn't obedient, I wouldn't be here today. And if you didn't speak, Father, if you didn't speak, I wouldn't be here today. So I know that this moment is a moment in time, but it actually comes from a moment out of time. But this moment, Father, I know that you created and ordained and purposed for me to be here because you want to meet with me today. And then lastly, say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you paid. I know I often forget. Say it like you mean it, guys. Say, I know I often forget. And I know I often take it for granted. But this morning, because of you, Father, and because of you, Jesus, and because of you, Holy Spirit, I am here. And therefore, Jesus, I can receive and understand your sacrifice through love. In Jesus' mighty name. I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You can give God a shout of praise. You can give him a hand clap. You can do just about anything that you want to do. If you want to jump, I want you to jump. If you want to scream, I want you to scream. Just carry on giving God a shout. Don't stop until I tell you. Okay, come on. Don't watch what we're doing. Don't concentrate on what we're doing. Focus on your shout. Focus on your victory. Focus on your breakthrough. Because it is through your praise and through your shout that the Spirit lifts heaviness off of your life. Now, for those of you who know me, you know that every time God puts me on this pulpit, it's not an ordinary Sunday. Every time that God puts Prophet on this Sunday, it's not an ordinary Sunday. Every time God puts one of the other pastors on this pulpit, it's not an ordinary Sunday. What am I trying to tell you? No Sunday is ever ordinary. Nothing with God is ever ordinary. Nothing with God is ever boring. Nothing with God, nothing that he does, says, or speaks, or any movement, any color, anything that God does is never boring, never ordinary, and never the same. Many of us take a Sunday just as the same, but it's not. And you know your mama likes to dance. You know she likes to praise. For those of you who are not part of Encounter, I'm sorry, you're gonna just get a little extra today. And God, I want you to slow down time. Father, on behalf of these people, I want you to slow down the time today. Let time go slower. Let the seconds by go by slower so that everything that you have ordained for them can come to pass. Let's go. I want you guys to praise with everything that's inside of you, okay? Amen.
praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. I'll praise when surrounded. But praise is the waters my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Still in control. My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound.
More than a sound.
My praise is a shout that makes Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Your sovereign, I'll praise 'cause you reign. I'll praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. I'll praise 'cause you're true. I'll praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign. I'll praise 'cause you reign. I'll praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. I'll praise 'cause you're true. I'll praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you.
The sound here. So, you three, okay, as you were standing there and you guys were praising, as you guys were giving it everything, each and every single one of you has a heaviness that weighs you down. You have a burden in your life that weighs you down. All three of you, to a degree that some people don't even know how heavy this burden is. The people around you don't even know the depth and the pain and the anxiety and the fear and the pressure that you feel in your lives, right? If I'm right, say yes. Okay, am I right? So the very fact that you three stood there and you praised and you gave God everything and you tapped into the atmosphere and you tapped into the movement that God was going to do here, the spirit of heaviness, this fear, this anxiety, this pressure, this guilt, this shame, this everything, this loss, this abandonment, everything will be removed from your life. This day it will be removed. Before the end of the day, you will begin to see visions and even have dreams if you have a sleep today. Oh, come on, somebody. You three will begin to see, all because you chose to be sensitive to an atmosphere, be obedient, and tap into what God had. And therefore, God says, I will answer your obedience. Because your sacrifice in your praise, oh, come on, somebody. Encounter. I want you to give God a shout of praise. You, I didn't see you. I didn't know what you were doing, but you were like, God, I'm not missing out. Like, God, I'm getting a part of that. Whatever she's doing, I'm getting part of that. So therefore, it's for you to... Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody! Hey! Something you don't know. What your answer is that God has given you, that is the one. And with your obedience, you will see how your obedience, obedience is greater than sacrifice. We know that, right? But you'll see how your obedience, even though it's scary, even though it's strange, even though it's new, you will see by through your obedience how God will come through for you. Please do something with the mic. I can't. You will see. And again, you are another one. Normally you're in the back. Normally you're somewhere else. But God ordained and appointed and purposed for you to be standing there this morning to receive this word, because you might be experiencing death in your life right now. You might be feeling death in your life right now. You might even feel like your dreams and your hopes and everything that you carry, everything that you wear is death, and it feels like there's no life. But God said, I'm going to begin to reveal to you, I'm going to begin to show you deeper realms, and I'm going to give you a love and wisdom on how to do things. God said he's going to show you wisdom on which direction to go and where to turn and how to go, whether it's left, whether it's right, whether it's up, whether it's down, whether it's now, whether it's tomorrow. But God said he'll give you the wisdom, but he'll also give you the revelation. And God said that he's with you and he will never leave you, and he will always give you peace. Everywhere that you walk, everywhere that your foot shall tread, you shall see there will be peace. Peace will follow you all the days of your life from this day forward. Come on, somebody! God is dead. Do you really think that he's not true? Just because somebody else lied to you and somebody else disappointed you and somebody else let you down, it doesn't mean that God is the one to let you down. It doesn't mean that God will let you down or he will disappoint you. Even though you feel disappointed, even though you feel abandoned, God has not disappointed you. He has not abandoned you. He has not left you to the curb like natural people did. So don't treat God like he did. It's not God's fault. It's not God's responsibility. But it's not God's, it's yours. You can have your seat. Thank you, but no thank you. Can I have another lappy? Thank you. Okay. Are you guys excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Wait, let me ask that again. God, give me eyes all over my face so that I can see everybody. That whoever I don't see, they're not trying to hide from me. Are you guys excited to be in the house of the Lord? I said, are you excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? You are, right? But stand up. Are you all four together? Okay. Life has hit you down way low. Life and struggles in life, all of you, everything in life has put you down to such a curb that you don't even know if God is real. You don't even know if God exists. You don't even know if He hears your cries, if He hears, or if He sees your tears running down your face. You don't even know. You say, God, are you real? God, have you forgotten about me? God, where are you? Why aren't you coming through for me? Why haven't you seen me? Why haven't you seen our struggle? Why haven't you been through there with us? But God is saying, I have been there with you every moment, every second of your life, everywhere that you've walked, everything that you've gone through it for a purpose. There's no reason why you would go through it for no reason. God says that He's ordered your footsteps. Everywhere your foot shall tread, you will have. The thing is God had to take you through this as part of the process, as part of your dealings, as part of your workings. Because, come and stand here, are you two married? Okay, come stand here. For those of you who did not attend the prophetic retreat, I'm very sorry. God said that your turnaround, this is your first time or one of your first times in the church, right? You've never been here before, ever. You might think we know everybody that walks through this door and we see everybody that walks through these doors, right? One of you might have thought, okay, no, but she knows the people. She can see our faces on you. No, I don't. Many times Prophet and I ask people, is this your first time? They're like, no, we've been here for 9 months. You're like, oh, shucks. And you just want to turn around and just want to walk away because you're like, sure, but these people have been here for 9 months. But the thing is that, no, you have not been here for 9 months. This is your very first time. Where do you guys come from? Pretoria North, okay. Of course. There we go. So God said He's about to lift you guys. He's about to raise you. Where does North face? North face up, right? So therefore, God says He is going to lift you. He is going to raise you. He's going to take you guys higher. And because you were obedient and you listened and you came to this place today where God has ordained and purposed for you to meet with Him. And today, because you have come and you will meet with Him, you will see how God will change everything around for your lives. You'll see how the breakthrough will come in their lives. How the breakthrough will come in your guys' lives, everybody's lives. Do you only have one child? Him as well. Okay. Oh, wow. Welcome, everybody. This word applies. Okay. All of you. No, meaning it applies for all of you. Okay. Is it just a family? Or do you guys head something? Do you run something? Or... it's not like you, when I say you run something, I don't want to say you run a business, but it's like, I don't want to, not even a home cell, but almost like a community thing. Or do you guys run something like that? Not yet? No? So you don't like feed people or try to feed people, try to help people? So that is the desire of your heart, is to feed people and to help people. Okay, because you're already doing it, right? Even in the little that you had, God said, if you will be faithful in the little that I have given you, then I will give you much. So therefore, because you have been faithful in the little and you have not thought about yourself, but you've thought about others, now is the time that I'll begin to raise you. And as you have done this, you will see how I will take you higher. And through the desires of your heart, I will take you and I'll cause you to feed many. But you won't just feed them. You will impart to them. You will change their lives and you will turn them around for the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise. Oh, come on! Okay, guys, God, you promised you'd slow down time. You can sit down. I say to God, God, I won't prophesy this morning, we'll prophesy tonight. But it's not my agenda. It's not my timing, it's God's place. Amen? Now, I have a whole bunch of notes. I have so much to say to you. And every time I just think, no jokes, every time I just think, God speaks. and he's telling me something new. And I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? I only have an hour with him. How am I going to be able to share everything that you've just shared with me, not just in today, but in like forever? But not even just in forever, but just in the last few days. There's a bit of feedback on the stage, if we can check that, please. Just in like forever, I'm like, God, how are we going to do this? And then I'm like, God, but you know what? I can't do it in me. I can only do it in you. So whatever you want to do, let's do it. Let's just have a good time in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. See, the thing is, many of us, and even as I was watching you guys praise, because the thing is that God speaks in absolutely everything. We think that God only speaks through the word. We think that, and I've told you guys this how many times, but the thing is that we think that God only speaks through the word, right? Yes, that is the, how can I say, that is the source where he speaks from. But when I say the source in the natural realm, because it was given to us as a word, as a written word, but that word was given to us as an example. It was given to us as a testimony. It was given to us as evidence so that we can, and even to bring back to memory and all these kind of things. Because remember, you were here before, or you were there before you were here, and you were here before you were here, and all these kind of things. But I won't go into detail with that. And I need to slow down because your prophet's going to start saying to me, okay, now you need to slow down your preaching a bit and not talk so slow anymore. Because not that I used to speak very slow, but anyway, the fact of the matter is that so many of us, God speaks in everything. Okay, so the people who are around me, they know how it goes, because when you get into a flow and you know God's speaking, then they're like, because that's kind of like how it goes. Did you see my hair in the camera? I just went like this. That's literally what it's like. It's like they get kind of like spun and dizzy and kind of silly. And sometimes that is the way that God speaks to us. So many of us miss the way that God speaks to us because it is so fast. Okay, let me slow down. That was all for a purpose, and that was all ordained and purposed by God. What we don't realize is that absolutely everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we hear, everything that we feel, everything that we experience is God's way of speaking to you. And what takes it even further, you get to a place of where you're like, God, okay, you don't have to speak to me anymore. I surrender myself. Use me now for your glory. And therefore, God begins to speak to you even more. And he starts giving you all these stuff, and everything that you see, everything that you hear, everything that you even taste, everything that you experience is no longer for yourself. Because the eye is no longer on yourself. The focus is no longer on yourself. So even though you have a struggle, even though you have a burden, even though you have all the experiences that you experience, because it is no longer on yourself and now on somebody else, you are not weighed down by that. But even in your times of when you have struggles and burdens and all that kind of stuff, that's why we can go through things and it seems like we're not affected. And I can guarantee you about 99.9% of the time we're not affected. Why? Because the eye is no longer on ourselves. Prophetic people will understand what I'm saying. Yeah. Before I go any further, I have to just take a moment, and I will, when I say waste time, not waste time, but because every moment and every second is ordained and purposed by God, but I said to God, I will not leave this meeting without doing this. So, and I actually wanted to start, but God has a way of doing the way that he does things. So, before I go any further, I have to just take the time to honor my prophet, and I've started changing his name from to our people who are close and familiar with us. I'm no longer calling him Leon to them. He's now my prophet. He's always been my prophet, but he will, whenever I speak to you, he will be my prophet. He won't be my husband or whatever. Anyway, I want to take the time to honor my prophet, your prophet. And no, I really do. Because he, in many ways, I can't even get into the detail of everything. And at some point in your life, if you stay part of this DNA, you will understand what I'm talking about. And God will bring you back to a moment of where you actually see me back on the stage and you see me saying the words that I've just said to you and you'll remember, oh, that is what she meant. Okay, many times God does that with you too, you just forget. But the thing is that he purposed and ordained and was God purposed and ordained it, but prophet was so obedient to God and God orchestrated things to happen the way that they did. And even though they happened the way that they did, prophet did not like worry, he did not fear, he did not do anything. He just rested in God, heard God's voice, was obedient to God's voice, and therefore things happened with Apostle Daniel the way that they did. things happened with Prophet Andre the way that they did. And everybody who was here that was in Apostle Daniel's service, you would have, most of you who were sensitive enough to know what God was doing in your life, you would have had an encounter with God in some way or fashion, whether it was through a song, whether it was through a scripture, whether it was through even watching him, whether it was through impartation, absolutely anything, somehow, if you can go back, if you missed what God had for you, please go back in your mind and replay the whole conference and you'll catch then what God had for you. Okay, but let me not give you too many secrets too soon. But then Prophet Andre comes and we've been promoting, this is I think the first time out of the three prophetic conferences that we promoted a prophetic retreat as long as what we did. Where's Pastor David or Lloyd or somebody? That's right, hey? We've never advertised it for such a long period of time. So we had three already, and this was the first time that we advertised it for such a long period of time. It was the first time that we did payment plans the way that we did for this retreat. Because the thing is that if you're in a prophetic church, you better know that you have the ability to prophesy. If this is your DNA, you better know that it's part of you. Not if you're just a visitor and you're sitting on the roof or sitting on the fence and you just coming in, coming out, you just feel like, you know, I'll come when I need a good boost. No, what I'm saying is if you're part of Encounter, you better know. God put you a prophet in the house and a prophetess in the house and your fellow prophet brothers and sisters. I'm not necessarily saying that everybody has to step into the office of a prophet, but all of you are able to prophesy. All of you are able to see and hear the way that not many people can, okay? So the thing is that God ordained it and purposed it for so many people. And I can guarantee you there's about at least, if not all of the members, at least most of the members who either had a desire to be there or who wanted to go. They knew they could have made the sacrifice, but they chose not to make the sacrifice. If you fall into that category, please let me know. Not if you did go, but if you wanted to go and you didn't have the money or wanted to sacrifice, didn't sacrifice, and so on and so on, just wave your hand. Be honest with me. Wave high so I can see. Okay, there we go. It's inside of you. You just didn't listen to God beforehand on what to do, because God 100% guaranteed would have spoken to you on how to do it, how to get yourself of where you are on there. But there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, there's no shame, because even in that happened, the fact that you couldn't be there, there's a purpose behind it. You might not understand it now. I know I'm talking so much, but I hope you guys are listening. And Encounter, you get enough of scripture. So as I'm speaking, it's even scripture, I'm just not quoting the scripture, or how I'm saying it might not be the way that you've read the scripture, but God is an absolutely everything. So if we want to limit God to only a certain English word or a certain English phrase, then you're making a mistake. And that's why many of us don't experience and encounter God the way that we should be and the way that we should be living this Christian life. Amen? Okay, I just obviously heard somebody's thought. So the thing is that even though you wanted to be there, even though God had ordained for you to be there, the fact that you weren't there doesn't mean that it's not for you. Doesn't mean that you won't receive. The thing is that life happens and ordains and purposes the way that it should work out. Everybody else, but God just led me to him. But everything else, I mean, God ordained and purposed it for it, because there's maybe still one or two things that God wants to tweak in. But other than that, God already gives you certain revelations. He reveals certain things to you that you might not even know that this is God speaking, or this is the deep revelation that somebody might hear, or what they might know, but you just don't know yet. The thing is that God has not opened it up to you yet, because it's not the timing for God to use you in that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, and it goes deeper than that. I just don't have the time to go even deeper. So, and the same with everybody else. It's not your ordained moment to be there. Yes, for some of you who could have sacrificed, there's still grace. Some of you just had no sacrifice to be able to make or to give or whatever. Okay, the ones who could have sacrificed and you could have gone a little bit further, and if you had been obedient, because obedience is greater than sacrifice, then even though your sacrifice would have been small or it seems great, your obedience to that would have taken you further, because obedience is greater than sacrifice. People think that, no, but Jesus paid a price, and Jesus paid this heavy price, and that was the sacrifice he paid. How can obedience be greater? No, it was the obedience in doing the sacrifice that caused Jesus to actually do the sacrifice. So a lot of people look at the sacrifice of Jesus, but they don't look at the obedience of Jesus. And therefore, many of us want to make sacrifices, but we don't make the right sacrifices, because it's not what God is saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? So because we're making sacrifices, but it's not the sacrifices that God is telling us to do, therefore we are not obedient, therefore the sacrifice doesn't carry the power. It doesn't carry the results. It doesn't carry anything. Many of us, many times God speaks to us. Now, again, I can show you the whole lot of notes that I have all over the place, but that's not where I'm going. I'm just going on what we're doing. The thing is that many of us have God speaking to us all the time. Now, I said it earlier, God speaks in so many different ways. And I'm going to show you in a minute how he did it, just even this morning, where I can guarantee you about almost all of you missed it. Maybe some of you in the prophetic retreat got it. Maybe not even any of you got it. But the point is that so many times God speaks to us. And God, let me say it this way. We all know and we've all heard that God loves us so much, right? Who's never heard that God loves you? Okay, great. I would have been like, then how did you get here? The thing is that we've all heard how much God loves us. We've all heard how much blessings he has for us, how much he wants to give to us, how much he wants to provide for us, how he's got all these promises locked up for us, and how much he wants to give it to all of us, right? And we're all like, yes, Lord, give it to me. Give it to me, Lord. I take it. I receive it. Yes, that's mine. And God even speaks in a message and like, oh, great. I understand that. And then you write it down. You're like, every day you quote this, like, you know, I will be blessed. I will this. I'm a conqueror. I am chosen. I am this. I am that. I even gave you an I am message the other day. And I'm sure some of you have even gone and quoted that whole thing. Thing is that, yes, you have that. But the thing is that God doesn't just give it to you. It requires a sacrifice. Now, salvation is freely given. But even in Jesus' sacrifice for you to have salvation, there was obedience. So even in your free gift of receiving salvation, you need to be obedient to that feeling, that tugging. A lot of people don't understand that it's actually the Holy Spirit like knocking at your door saying, receive it. So many people are obedient, and therefore they receive the free gift of salvation. So even though it might be a free gift, even though these gifts from God, these promises from God are free, so many people think, it still takes obedience. But with obedience comes, are you getting it? So many of us do not feel that God loves us because we feel like we're not receiving anything from God. We feel like everybody else is receiving the promises, but we're not receiving the promises. But you cannot receive the promises because you're not being obedient to his voice, his leading, his guiding, and obedient to the sacrifices that he's asking you to make. And everybody automatically thinks that the sacrifice I need to make is money. Yes, money is one of them. It's not the only one. Sacrifice in your time, sacrifice in your sleep, sacrifice in your carnality, what you watch, what you do, what you say, sacrifice in going on a lunch date or a movie date or something. All these things are sacrifices. Literally, me just making a step forward, that can be a sacrifice. Because if God said to me, no, don't move forward, and I move backwards, but I know that I want to move forward, and there might be something there that God has promised me. So let's say, for example, God has promised me this Bible. Now, I've been asking God for a Bible for how long? I've been asking God for a Bible. I'm praying and I'm like, God, please give me a Bible. But I don't want just any Bible. I want a Bible that has a commentary. I want a Bible that really can teach me more, that can tell me more, that can give me fresh revelation, new revelation, revelation straight from your throne room, straight from you. And I'm standing here and it's going to literally be one step and a stretch of my hand to take this Bible because it's right in front of me, right? And I can take it. Nobody's around it. It's free. Since nobody has ownership over it, it's free. I can take it, right? Okay, some of your minds be thinking, the analytical people know, but you're in church, she's there. Scratch that, just be childlike. No, I'm serious, be childlike and just Take it by faith, what I'm saying. Don't try and analytically work out everything that God is doing, because God, for a reason, tells us to be childlike. Therefore, accept sometimes when God is speaking to you, He needs you to be like a child to be able to receive the revelation like a child would receive it and just believe what He's saying, okay? Let me backtrack for those of you who analytically disturbed me. So now I said, I wanted that Bible, I wanted the fresh revelation, I wanted the God to speak to me, but I wanted Him to give me fresh revelation, new revelation. So, and I know I can take a step forward and I can just reach out and take it because there's nobody here and it's free and I can just take it, right? But God says to me, no, step backwards and turn around and walk away. And I'm like, now I need to be obedient to God, but I'm like, it was right there. I could have just taken, I could have had it now. And God said, no. And I have to walk away, not walk away. Why, God, why? It was right there. Lord, but You promised me I can have Your word. You said that Your word will give me so much more, Lord, why? Some people, fine, Lord, then I just won't do it anymore. Do you know what? My love, I was talking to God and God didn't do this for me and He just didn't want to come through for me and I could have had a Bible and He didn't give me my Bible. My love, why does God do this to me all the time? But I thought you serve God. You want me to serve this God that does this to you? You want your husband to serve God, but you're complaining what God doesn't do for you? You want your boss to promote you, but you complain to your boss about not even godly things, about being faithful in your season. So God is watching. God is using your boss to see if you are faithful in your season, yet you are complaining to your boss to be faithful in your season. Your boss is like, okay. They can't handle that pressure. There's no way I can give them more. There's no way promotion can come. Even though I want to give them a promotion because I see that they have the ability to do it. I know that they can do it. I know that the qualities and everything inside of them, they're actually even doing it. They just don't know that they're doing it because they still see themselves doing this. They don't even see what they are doing. They're focused on this. But if I now put that on them, what they have not yet seen, they're going to crash and burn. Therefore, you need to receive what you have not seen by faith. Be faithful in what has been given to you, even if you can carry the pressure or not. That is the reason why God gave Himself to you. That is why He gave you the Holy Spirit to have fellowship with Him. Because the one that you go to when you need anything in life is the Holy Spirit. He is your helper. I'm not saying you can't talk to one another. I'm not saying don't go into the whole analytical vibe again. Please get what I'm saying. I'm talking about a lifestyle of this. And the thing is that God is speaking all the time. Everything that happens in your life is purposed and ordained for a reason, for what God wants to give you, but He needs to test you through your life circumstances. Everybody thinks that the only test that they're going to go through, or the only, how can I say it, process, meaning in your process, you're going to have certain things that you have to overcome. You have certain obstacles that you have to overcome. There's certain things that you have to learn in your process that you have to grow into. All these things, I can't really go into all the detail of it because I have to do one thing before we leave, before tonight, because I'll be back tonight. And then hopefully tonight I'll be able to share what is on my notes. So the thing is that we're all in this process, but we think that the only process we go through is in these four walls. We limit God and God's voice to only these four walls. We think that God only speaks here, only speaks through this. And maybe at home in our four walls, He only speaks through this. Maybe now and then you maybe hear something, or by now you've been taught that sometimes just what you feel is God speaking. So some of you are able to feel God speaking because you sit in a great church that gives you great revelation, that teaches you how to be an actual spiritual being and not this carnal being that is run by the world. But even in that, you miss God every single moment of your life. Do you really think if God is omnipresent and he's all over the place? You know, in this week, my girls asked me a question that I'm not going to get into all of it today. It's just, or this morning at least, but I'll be back with you tonight. So if you want to hear the rest of it tonight, please be back. Not that I need you to be here, because if you, it's for you. I've got it. I don't need it. I've got it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anyway, so in this week, my girls said to me, Mommy, can the, because we were, they always talking about spiritual things. Not only spiritual things. Please don't condemn yourself that your children are not always speaking about spiritual things. My kids are not always speaking about it. But very often they're asking us all these questions. And they said to me, Mommy, Bethany said it to me. She said, Mommy, are demons also everywhere? Because she asked me something about Jezebel. Yes, they understand who Jezebel is. So I teach my children who Jezebel is so that they don't fall into the trap of Jezebel. And also so that they're not affected by every demon that comes their way or tries to come their way. Amen? Okay, so she's like, can she also be everywhere? Or can the devil also be everywhere? Now I'm teaching her, no, he can't. God is the only one who's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. He's in the speaker, he's in the bowl. And a lot of you might have even known this, but a lot of you have not yet caught the revelation that God is everywhere. You know it, but you do not yet have the revelation of it. That God is in absolutely everything. He speaks in everything, and I can't get into the detail of it. But let me just explain to you this morning what happened. Or let me just explain to you what happened this morning. Where's my phone? Somewhere in my phone. Ah, see? My phone and my Bible are one. They are literally becoming one. How can she say her phone and her Bible are becoming one? My phone is becoming so loaded with the revelation of the Bible, because when God says something, I'm just like, even that was a sign that God speaks in everything. Absolutely everything. Okay, now let me just show you what God did just in a moment of me getting to the church building for you. Now, you can ask Riche. He is evidence of a one-on-one where I showed him how God speaks and everything. We were driving in the car, and it just happened today that out of all days, and I've never done this before, ever in my entire life, ever, that I can remember, when I preached, did I ask them not to have anybody in the office. Nobody. I wanted nobody in the office. I wanted to be quiet. I even switched the sound of the TV off. I wanted nothing because I didn't want a disturbance, because many of us have many disturbances and we can't hear God. Okay, so I didn't want a disturbance. So then, but before that, I asked them not to come into the office. And I asked them not to come into the office. And then the whole communication thing flowed between the staff, and because she knows all, his other half, she knows all of my stuff and whatever and whatever and whatever. So from them, it traveled to her, and from her, traveled to him. And then God started preparing him for what's to come. And okay, so then in there somewhere along the way, John not being part of any of this communication, John instantly feels sick. He cannot come today. He cannot drive me around. Now, the difference between John and Riche, it's amazing how God works. For those of you who understand, Riche is very quiet. John is very talkative. Okay. Prophet is very. I am very. Okay. Even in that, God purposed and ordained it for a specific way, because God knew that he speaks through me through speaking. So a lot of times, John and I sit in the car, and just by me speaking to him, God speaks to me. Many of times you'll hear them that I speak to, I said, listen, God just spoke to me in me speaking to you, okay? Even just a silly thing like God choosing our drivers. Why do we have a drivers? Because when God speaks to you all the time, you cannot concentrate on the road, okay? It happens, it's real. For those of you who ever ministered before, okay. Please celebrate with the fact that I have a driver. Don't persecute us. But the point is, okay. The point is that in that, John got sick. He was not part of any of the communication. So, and John is like, he's like, what do you call it? Hardkoppig, I don't know what the English word is, stubborn. He's so stubborn that there's nothing in hell that will stop him from driving me around. He's like, he will even ask me, he will take off work knowing that somehow possibly I could have something going on and he wants to drive me around for that. I'm like, listen, we'll stick to Sunday because the devil thinks he only works on Sundays and sometimes he sends his people on Sundays. It's not true, it's a lie. Don't anybody listen to that. He works all the time. But anyway, my point is that John was sick and he couldn't come and fetch me. I'm giving you a background story for a reason. You're going to understand now what I'm saying because somebody needed to hear me say that. So, John got sick. John couldn't come. Now, his stubbornness, he would like probably freaking out inside that he can't come. I just answered, relax. Just chill. And he's watching and he's probably laughing. So then Rochet had to drive me around. But now look at this. The quiet guy has to drive me around not knowing that my instruction is to keep quiet. God gave me an instruction, keep quiet. But anyway, then we get in the car. Then I said to God, listen to what I'm saying. Knowing that Rochet's gonna drive me, knowing that he probably was not gonna be able to come this morning, or was not gonna come this morning, I said, God, because of his sacrifice, not that it's a sacrifice to come to church, but just get what I'm saying. I'm painting a picture. So because he decided to come, and because he decided to honor me just as much as what he honors my husband, not that I need you guys to honor me, it's not about that. Listen to what I'm saying. Or let me say, honor the gift, not me. I don't need any honor. So because he decided to do that, in myself, I said, God, give him a word. Before God, as I'm standing here, I said, God, give him a word. In the week, I said to God, God, give me a word. In the week, I said, God, give me a word. In the week, I said, God, give me a word. In the week, I said, God, give me a word. In the week, I said, God, give me a word. In the week, I said, God, give me a word. You're like, don't miss me. You guys have never seen me prophesy the way that I prophesy. They have never seen me prophesy the way that I prophesy. Anyway, that's all purpose of God. But anyway, so I said within myself, even though God gave me the instruction to keep quiet, I said to myself, God, give me a word for Rochet. I wanted him to have one, and I felt God was wanting to say something to him. So I know that that word is not going to come from myself. I can't just make something happen. So then God gave me a word. Anyway, we just started speaking, and in what we were speaking, God was saying. But now, and I said to him what God was saying, but then God was saying more. And God purposefully did it so that I can explain to you what happened today. So then Bethany, do you remember what was the first thing she said? I remember. Okay, so the first thing that she said, she just randomly, out of nowhere, she says to me, Mommy, does my Barbie have anything with his pink shoes? What an open-ended question. What do you mean anything? Does she have clothes? Does she have bags? Does she have this? Does she have that? Because now what I'm seeing is this Barbie with just pink shoes on. Therefore, God is not saying anything else to me. He's just talking to me about the shoes. So I can say to him, okay. And now this is after the whole prophecy. I won't go into his whole prophecy. That was for him. Then God said, he's giving him childlike peace, something like that. But you won't understand it. He understood it like this. Okay. Out of nowhere, she says that. Then God spoke, and that was for him. Then as we stopped, she said, Rochet, can I tell you a joke? Something that I haven't told you in a long time. Listen to her words. Rochet, can I tell you a joke? Something that I haven't told you a long time. Now I'm listening, he's not listening. Because he's focused on what he needs to do. We just stopped here, or we were just about to stop. So he was driving through the gate, preparing himself, his analytical mind. I need to go stop there. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to go here and I need to do this. He didn't miss. He missed it. So when we stopped and after she did it, then what did she do? She just goes, no, that's actually real. She's fake laughing. This is now the joke that she's supposed to tell Rochet. There's no joke, there's just fake laughing. Her fake laughing didn't just cause joy for him, but caused joy for all of you who laughed with her. Now the thing is, and I said to him, I'm like, Rashay, you missed everything that God just told you and what my child just told you. My child is a prophet and my other child is a prophet too. They've been prophesying the whole week with me and with my husband. Even about some of you. Because I asked them, I said, I gave them a name. I said, do this. This is the name. This is what you have to do. I told them nothing except for two details about you. One person, I told them what color your hair is. And one other thing, the other person, I told them that you were tall and that you were... Okay, so the one I told that there was a girl and what color your hair is. So it was a girl, blonde, guy, tall. All the girls with blonde hair. Lord, was it me? That's all. Then I say, draw me a picture. Now don't go and tell all your kids to do that. It doesn't just work like that. Anyway, then God gave a whole word through them. My point is, God used Bethany out of nowhere to speak to Rashay and to tell Rashay X, Y, Z. But Rashay, one, didn't even listen to the earthly voice, let alone God's voice behind what God was saying. So many of you guys rely on your earthly voices, but you don't even listen to what they are saying. When I say your earthly voices, the gifts that God has placed in and that kind of stuff, you're not even listening to what they're saying. So he didn't listen to her voice or God's voice. And then I told him, Rashay, you missed it. God just told you this. He's like, I didn't even go into the depth of it because I couldn't, because we were walking out. The thing is I watched you guys as we praised. I gave an instruction. I just literally told you. I gave an instruction because I knew what God was doing, because as I was in the office that was dead quiet, except for what I heard in here, but it was absolutely quiet, and we are so strict that our e-kids don't make such a loud noise. Out of the blue comes this loud noise. And I'm like, because I just heard how the offering started or whatever. I'm like, oh my gosh, Nadine, do you know that the kids are so loud? God's like, no, it's me. I'm like, oh yes, sorry. For a moment, I just forgot that you speak through absolutely everything. What do you want to say to me through this? God started speaking. I knew I can come here, I can play this song and I can give you. I didn't even touch my notes. Oops. But I knew through even that, I'm not done. Hold on. I don't have time. You can celebrate afterwards. Then, I know, can you believe it? I'm telling you not to praise God. Okay, but you are praising him in your heart. Okay, so then God says this. Then God gives me instruction. You need to play that song. Okay, I only know play the song. I don't know what he's going to do with the song. With that song, he then calls those three guys up to come. And then she comes up and God meets all three of them. But in that, while I was watching you, because I couldn't watch you praise beforehand. Now I do watch you praise many times. Even if I'm facing this way, I watch you guys praise. Yes, I wish I had more time because I can just even go into praise. But the thing is that I watched all of you praise and I was watching you. Now God spoke so many things just in watching you. But what I will say is that you see how God brought a breakthrough. What seems like nobody's noticing them praise. I saw them getting my attention. So God can see you getting their attention. If God is ready to respond, he will respond. If he's not ready to respond, even though you're trying to get his attention, not always will you get his attention. Because God could be focusing on something else. Not that he's not everywhere, he is everywhere. But the thing is as I watch the rest of you, and as I'm watching, they quiet down, and I purposefully quiet down. I purposefully stop jumping, stop singing to watch you guys. And many of you follow me, not understanding that you're following me, you're not following Jesus. Because I, in my natural, know that I stopped in my natural, but in my spirit, I know the instruction that God had given was to praise that song all the way through, to worship and to give it your all the way through. But I watched all of you follow the man and not the spirit, because I walked in here with the spirit that gave the instruction, which was to praise. And the moment that the man stopped, you stopped, most of you. Or you quietened down, or you lost the energy. So many of you guys look, and I'm not saying this in condemnation at all. You guys are far beyond condemnation. By now you guys are mature to know that when we speak, we're teaching you. So the thing is that a lot of people and a lot of you look at the man, the physical man, in your, how can I say it? I don't want to say in your carnality because that might not be the right word, but in your trust or in your faith, even though it's honorable, the Bible doesn't say put your trust in a man, right? No. It doesn't say put your faith in a man. No. Who do you put it in? Listen, these guys are sitting right here. They're like, not like I'm giving a revelation. They're like, you know what? You can say this and you can say this and you can say that and you can add this and you can add that and you can say this and you can say that. The thing is that that is how God speaks. Many times we're sitting there and we're like, oh my gosh, God just told me this. He just added this. He just added that. The thing is that a lot of us only want to listen to what is being said like this, but we don't listen to what God is saying to us deeper. That is why God says go into the deep. That is why God wants to take us deeper. That is why God wants to hide us, because a lot of us only focus on the exterior. We don't focus on the internal. When I say the internal is Christ in me. So therefore, when I speak, it is no longer I, but it is Christ who speaks. So when I give an instruction, when I teach, when He gives an instruction, when He teaches, and so on and so on and so on and so on, and my other me, my prophet, my everything. When we speak, you guys are still, most of you, not everybody. When I say you guys, I don't mean it with disrespect, but I know you guys know that. The thing is most people, let me say it that way, most people see the man and they listen to the man, and it's honorable because we say honor the man, yes. But it doesn't say have faith in the man. It doesn't say have trust in the man, okay? Do you see how I'm separating things for you so that you can realize and begin to listen to God's voice when He leads and instructs and guides, when He gives you an instruction through His voice that is inside a person who is surrendered to Him? Listen to the instruction. Many of us are disobedient and we're not obedient to God, and therefore we miss it. I'm only tapping into one way now. There's many other ways. Oh, I wish I could get into it. I can't. I have to go. So, who's not coming tonight? Be honest. Like, who of you said, I'm not coming tonight? You can be honest. Okay. That is very few of you. The rest of you, are you coming tonight? Okay. Then what I wanted to do now, I'm not going to do, because there's a whole explanation behind it. I have to do it tonight. And God actually told me He was going to do it tonight, but I was like, God, let's see how the flow goes. Not for my purpose, but for His sake, because the whole week through, it was like, okay, we'll do it in the morning. You can even ask Him. We planned for the morning, and then there's things just didn't happen that way. And then as time was getting closer, God said, no, the evening. So I love you guys so much. And there's so much more that I am going to say to you later. I know it sounds strange, right? I told you it was going to be a strange day. Let me just say this before I leave. Encounter, those who have ears, let them hear what I'm about to say. Wait, don't celebrate because you're going to distract yourself. Those who have ears, let them hear. Don't focus on your book right now. Don't focus on your pen. Don't focus on your phone. Don't focus on anybody. Please, don't walk around. Don't fix your pants. Don't walk with the camera, Shazandra. Just listen. Everybody, listen. Okay, those who are not part of Encounter, if you want to listen, you can listen. I'm not forceful, I promise. I'm really a nice person. I'm really calm and really gentle most of the time. Okay, Encounter, listen to what I'm about to say. If you have an ear, hear what I'm about to say, okay? God is about to do something. Don't celebrate yet. God is busy something. Long time ago, many of you missed it, God opened something. And it started before this, but let me show you where it opened up for you guys, where you guys missed it. As it is in heaven. Ring a bell? Okay. What did we do that whole conference? You might not have understood what you did through that whole conference, but what we were declaring, we came here in faith, having faith that God was going to do something as it is in heaven on earth, right? Most of you who came had that thinking, God, I don't even understand what it is as it is in heaven, but you came in faith. You were like, yes, I'm going to tap into that. I'm going to go, I'm going to receive. Some of you might even walked away and felt like you didn't receive much. Maybe you received something. The thing is that was a starting point to something. Many of you missed it, but it's okay. And I can't go deeper because of time. But the thing is that God started something before then with us, but with you guys, where you are now with us there. Okay. But I can't explain everything to you. Imagine what is going on in my brain at this point of time, right? I'm sure some of you might be thinking, I'm sure Auntie Ellie's thinking, I wonder what's going on in her brain. Do you know why? Because her brain thinks that way. She doesn't get stuck on just this and just that. She's like always thinking. Some people might think that it's irritating. Some people might think that the questions and the this and the that is a bit of a pain. No. Why? Because she's curious. She's curious to go deeper. She's curious to do that. Many of you are that way, but you've been persecuted your whole life and you've been put down your whole life for talking too much, for being too curious, for this, for that. But do you think that it is all for nothing? Many of us have just submitted to the negativity that was spoken over us linked to that. No, God gave you that curiosity because God put a prophetic voice inside of her and she needs to have the curiosity for the prophetic to be able to come out. Do you understand your life? Do you see your life? The thing is you just submit to the negativity. You just submit to the lies. You just submit to the suggestions. You just submit to what the world and the man has told you. And you cannot see God, therefore you do not have faith, because you need to have faith in the invisible, what you cannot see. Do you understand? Don't let the enemy lie to you anymore. Don't take it anymore, Tian. Don't submit to it anymore. You need to do the sacrifices and be obedient to the sacrifices, to the instructions that God is giving you. He's spoken to you how many times? Just listen. As simple as that. Did you not have a good relationship with your mom? You had a very good one. Okay, I understand. Okay, I have to go. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. Now I understand what prophet feels like all the time. My point is that God already started something. And what I wanted to say, when God said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Listen to everything. Go back all the way to the conference, and everything that was said at the conference up until now, every sermon, every message that you got on Get to the Church, we're going to preach about this, we're going to do that, everything. And ask God, what did I miss that you were trying to tell me? And don't focus on the negativity, because God already spoke to you before. Not that he's not going to speak to you going forward, no, but that before can help you with what's coming. Otherwise, you're going to just go around the mountain until another As It Is in Heaven conference comes around. Not that it will be titled the same, but it might be a different conference. And then maybe God will speak to you in that, the way that he spoke to you there. Maybe he might take two steps back and realize, okay, they're not ready yet to receive that because they have not opened themselves to receive it yet. Do you get it? What am I going to do in Krugersdorp? I didn't preach from notes. Okay, let's go.